Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Today, we are featuring WIT Atlanta. I'm Ryan McPherson. I'm very excited to tell you that I'm broadcasting from the Regis Executive Suites here in One Glen Lake Plaza in sensational Sandy Springs, Georgia. I'm also seated alongside my co-host today, Sandy Welfare. How are you this morning, Sandy?
I'm doing very well, Ryan. Good to see you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming back and very excited to have our guest in here in the studio. But before we turn our attention to him, let's also remind our listeners to make sure you're following us on Twitter at Business Radio X or WIT Atlanta at WIT ATL. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio, Mr. James Dallas. How are you doing, James?
Doing great, Ryan. Doing great, Sandy.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us here today. We look forward to hearing all about your past careers and your current endeavors. But let's first start with your most recent award that you were recognized with, and that was the 2015 Georgia CIO Achievement Award. Is that right?
Yes, it is, Ryan. And it came as a complete surprise to be recognized with such a tremendous honor. And the award is all about recognizing leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership in the form of the difference a person is making in their company, in his or her company, and also in the community.
And that's great. So that was a breakfast they had at the Cobb Galleria a few weeks back. And you didn't know you were up for this Lifetime Achievement Award, or you did know?
Well, I knew before the event, yeah. But I remember when I got the phone call, I was in the airport. Mm. And Frank Bell, who heads up the Georgia CIO Association, was on the phone and he said, James, I wanted to let you know you've been nominated for and you've been selected for this award. So all of a sudden, I think I was in the D.C. airport and I was on the phone and I was one of those annoying people that just went, no shucks, and where everybody else could hear and look at me, but it was a tremendous honor.
Yeah, very good, and that's something you can hold high and put on your mantle at home and be certainly very, very proud of. And for our listeners who don't know Mr. James Dallas, you will be able to see his full entire bio posted on our website after the show's completion today, but he's been around this town a long time. He's been in the corporate setting for many, many years, both domestically and internationally, but his roots are right here in Atlanta, is that right?
Yes, I'm an Atlanta native, Grady baby, Booker T. Washington High School graduate, giving a shout out to all my classmates,
yes, sir.
And also an Emory graduate.
That's fantastic. So Atlanta's in your blood, yes. And Atlanta's certainly proud to have you here today. And so you've spent 22 years with Georgia Pacific, is that right?
Yes, I started out at Georgia Pacific in 1984 as a cost accountant. Mm-hmm. And then I made the move into IT. When I saw the first personal computer, and I also saw that there was a gap between the technical people and the business people, so there was an opportunity for a person to get in the middle who understood both. So then I became a programmer trainee, and then I rose up through the ranks and became an officer of the company.
That's fantastic. And 22 years, you know, you must have learned a lot of things along the way. Looking back upon that time, what are some of those highlights for you?
Well, the highlights were always things that caused me to reflect. In other words, I did something wrong. Okay. So I reflected and learned from them. But the biggest highlight was watching how Pete Carrell, when he became CEO, he transformed Georgia Pacific from being a commodity business to a consumer products one. Mm-hmm. And seeing how Pete led the company through that transformation, I learned a lot just by watching him from a distance. I also learned a lot about the importance of having great mentors and sponsors, people who were able to give me advice, people who were able to open doors for me as my career progressed.
So mentorship and sponsorship, that almost ties into WIT Atlanta here a little bit. That's what you're providing for the folks out there. And that was a big part of your career and, you know, cultivating you as a leader today. And so Sandy, from your perspective, the mentorship, the sponsorship, that's super important. Isn't that right?
I would say especially for women, because I think that as we look at who's in the room making the decisions around the next leadership hire or the next leadership promotion, we're needing to engage all people as a part of that conversation. And James and I were just talking about having more men in the room, because I think we tend to preach to the choir from a woman perspective. But I think knowing that you have people who can back you, that is a key component to rising up. And it's pretty much been how my career has been successful is having those persons who are there to speak on your behalf when you're not in the room.
From your perspective, if for a young woman on her career path, is it best to have a female mentor or sponsor or a male? Or they both bring different elements to
they
that
both bring
dynamic?
Different elements. And I actually think you need both, because I think you need as many different perspectives as possible. But I think the key component of any mentor is someone who's going to tell you the truth, because what I found over the years is that the more you're just wanting to be around people who are going to, you know, speak to what you already want to hear, that's good, but it helps, and it helps you to stay motivated. But at the same time, you need someone who's going to say, yeah, that decision, that wasn't right. You could have done, you could have handled that different or better. And I think that those are the mentors that have helped me the most.
And with mentorship, the biggest element, in my opinion, there is trust. You can't just put an ad out on Craigslist and say, looking for a mentor, you know, call me. It's somebody you have to build a relationship with first before you can put all that trust of your future, your knowledge and all that into that. And that comes from WIT Atlanta, because you know the people that are mentoring young women out there have already succeeded and can be trusted.
Oh, absolutely. And I think most times it's a natural mix. I don't think, I can tell you, I've had formal mentoring, and those aren't the relationships that's lasted. It's the ones that have been organic and growth, where it's just someone who's kind of, you know, blossomed from the relationship that you previously had. Like James and I were on a board, a nonprofit board together. And as much as he may not know it, I've watched him in his career, and we had a conversation once around my deciding what I was going to do next. And he may not know it, to this day, he sent me an email and said, keep walking by faith. And he does not probably even know that to this day, that is still a component of my feeling confident that I'd made the right decision.
James, were you aware of that?
Well, no, I wasn't. But when I think about some of the people that had an impact on me, it was some of the things that he just did naturally that just had a tremendous impact on me. If I can add a couple more comments about the importance of mentors. Now, a mentor, you pick. There's someone that you see something in that you reach out to and pick them. And they open up your mind. Now, you also have to have a sponsor. But the key difference there, sponsors pick you. Mm-hmm. Just like absolutely. I saw something in Sandy that said, James, invest your time in Sandy. And then what sponsors do, mentors open up your mind. Sponsors open up doors for you and the minds of other people so that you can come into through those doors.
A very sound advice, and certainly resonates with me. And so sponsorship and mentorship, should these come from within your already circle of life and the people and the places you go? Or should you reach out of the norm to find these folks?
Excellent. You need to reach out. What I've always said, there are three things that leaders have to be willing to do. One is to set yourself apart in order to bring people together. Mm. That means you got to step outside of your comfort zone. And as you step outside your comfort zone, you're going to be surprised at people that are going to reach out to you. And then it is your job to then build bridges that bring different cultures and people together and break down walls. And then you could do great things.
No, that is good. And that's the hardest part, I think, for folks, is stepping outside their comfort zone. We feel safe and comfortable around our friends and family. And oftentimes those are our biggest supporters, but they don't want to always tell us the truth either, where we may need to go, what we may need to add or take away from our life. And so therefore, you get that honest, true feedback from that real mentor and that real sponsor. And you can find that at WIT Atlanta for sure. There's a wide network of people and industries and success tracks that you can connect with over there, whether you're a young girl or a recent college graduate, you know, first stepping into your career field. So let's talk about leadership for a moment. I know that's big to you. You mentioned earlier it touched you, just sitting and watching folks. What are some of those core fundamentals from your perspective, Mr. Dallas, about leadership?
Okay. Leaders have two core responsibilities. Number one, to make a difference. And in order to make a difference, you got to be willing to be different. And you have to know how to lead change. That's number one. Number two, your next responsibility is to develop other leaders.
That's great. If you can adhere to those two, then you're on the right path to success.
Absolutely. And then leaders have three things going for them that other people don't. Mm. The first one, they have a purpose. In other words, a North Star that allows you to walk by faith because you know where you're going and you know how you're being guided. The second thing, they have a brand. And it's just like a product brand. When your name comes up, when you're not in the room, what are people thinking about you? Like in my case, I wanted those adjectives to be trustworthy, insightful, dependable. So what's your brand? And then is that the same words that people are using when you're not doing the talking? The third thing that leader has, so they have a purpose, they have a brand. The third thing, they have a theme song. And what's the importance of a theme song? Leaders are going to make mistakes. Okay. And also leaders are going to be misunderstood. Leaders are going to be lonely. You got to have something that's going to pick you up when you're down. Mm. And that's what that theme song does. Now, a lot of people laugh when I say that, but leaders, whenever I'm talking with leaders, they immediately resonate with it, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to actually run into things where people are going to do wrong things to you in order to stop progress. But you've got to be able to pick yourself back up.
More sound advice from James Dallas. He is an author, former SVP of Quality and Operations for Medtronics as well. And he has a book called Mastering the Challenges of Leadership. Inspire the people and succeed where others fail. And folks can find this book on Amazon, or where may they find it?
They could find it at any online bookseller. Yep. They could also come to my website, H. James Dallas.
Yep. Very good. And, you know, H. James Dallas on Twitter, you know, yeah, connect with them everywhere there in that book. If you're looking for a last minute Christmas gift, or already something to take you into the new year with, be a perfect gift. Conquer Every Change Initiative by Inspiring the Right People with the Best Strategies and Tools by H. James Dallas. So I look forward to seeing reading this myself over the Christmas holidays. And I will be able to come back and tell you more, listeners, about leadership and how important that is in 2016. So let's talk a little bit now about the cross-section between your career with Atlanta, you know, the science and technology arena, all that. I know it's a big deal here in Atlanta, but how did you first come to be involved with WIT Atlanta?
Well, this is when Sandy and I go back, it's a number of years. It's over 10 plus years. And it's when she was the executive director of Cool Girls.
Yes, you mentioned that many times in here.
And I was on the board of Cool Girls at that time. And I was the group CIO for the Georgia Pacific, I think, building products group at that time. And I went to their annual, Cool Girls annual event. And I'll never forget, they had one of the mentors talking about her mentee on stage, and she held up the young lady's resume and said she needed a job. She had graduated, I think, from Georgia Southern.
Yes.
And she needed a job. And I was so impressed to have someone be willing to take that moment and open up the door for someone else. We hired that young lady the next week at Georgia Pacific, and she's done extremely well. Now, when it comes to STEM and creating awareness of it, what I do, I don't talk about it from a STEM standpoint to young people. I talk to them about it from a style standpoint. See, young people like style. They like fashion. And what is STEM all about? Creating new things. Correct?
Correct. You're absolutely
new
right.
Design.
Innovation.
So, yes, mm-hmm. It's about innovation. So if we start talking about STEM from a style standpoint, young ladies are going to resonate with that. I mean, look, young ladies love. They all have their unique style. They take pride in their style. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody try to copy their style. It's on then. Yeah. Okay? So talk to them about, okay, you got style when it comes to designing clothes. Let's use that same style when it comes to designing buildings, when it comes to designing IT systems, mm-hmm. when it comes to designing games. And then that's when you get their attention. That's when you hook them. That's when you enlighten them. And that's when they go out and do great things.
Yeah, working with that creativity that's inside them.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't just happen to only apply to fashion, like you said, but all aspects of your life, being creative, being innovative, and having your personal flair on that. And we certainly do encourage that from those young people out there everywhere. So part of this, though, looking back upon your life and some of these things, this has evolved for you. This evolving kind of awareness, the core principles, were these something you adopted at an early age or you came to believe?
Well, it was something that I was adopted because my grandmother took me to the side and knocked me on the head and saying, look, James, I'll never forget, I had done something that caused her to tell me to sit down and said, what are they unlearning you in college? She said, are they only teaching you to only believe in what you see and what other people are doing, mm-hmm. or to trust what your heart is saying and what your mind is saying, and then go for it. Because if you're only believing what other people are doing and what they are saying, then at best, you're going to get a little bit of what they already have. But if you have the courage to trust your heart and your mind, then you get it all. So she instilled that adventurousness, that risk-taking in me. And now, then my father instilled in me stepping out. He would take us to places, and I was born when grade was still segregated, but he would take us to college orientation sessions when there were no black people going to those colleges, because he could see what the future would hold, and he didn't want us to be constrained what the present was. And then at work, I had mentors, I had sponsors, Pete Carrell being one, that opened up the door for me. So those are the lessons I learned at a young age.
Right, and set you on that path to success, that love for the community, able to help others and give back. And that's exactly what WIT Atlanta does, right? It's all about giving back and setting that path of success for those younger generations today.
Oh, absolutely. I think that one of the key components of what James is sharing is around when you're self-aware. And I think self-aware leaders are able to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there's times that people don't even have to tell me that something didn't work out. I already know, because in the back of my mind, I know the quality of excellence that I'm striving for. So I think that it's all those things that you learn along the way. And interesting enough, most times there's this belief that leaders are not somehow, like, they're infallible. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that I don't get right because I'm willing to take risk. But in order to take risk and do something that we've never done before, you've actually got to jump out there.
Yeah. And for you, again, as a young age, and we've talked about this on past shows, you were connected to the science and technology mm-hmm. arena, and you stayed on that path and the career path. Now you here you are giving back and directing a large organization to teach others to give back. So that's super important for sure.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that resonated with me yesterday, we had all of the 2015 Women of the Year winners at the WIT Forum. And they talked about authenticity. And I think that is the, to me, that is the core component of how women leaders will succeed. You have to be who you are. You're not a male version of it. You're not a extended version of some other person. You're you. And I think that when you embrace all that comes with it, that's when you're going to be your most successful.
Authenticity. So staying true to yourself, staying true to your core values and beliefs, your leadership beliefs, all that plays a part of shaping and molding and grooming the next generation of leaders.
Absolutely. And authenticity is the key word, because when people see that you're authentic, they will trust you. Now, authentic doesn't mean trying to be someone else. It's being you. Now, people won't know this, but I used to be very quiet.
No way.
Yes.
Okay. Really, James?
Yeah. Okay. Because I was too concerned about what other people might think. And then I remember I went to media training, and the greatest coach just told me, be yourself. People don't want you to be someone else. They can tell. And when you're yourself, they feel free to be themselves.
Right. Very good. Certainly, be yourself, be authentic, but don't be afraid to take risks. You know, that's part of it. And if you fail, that's okay. That's a life lesson learned, because really failure is not over. You only fail if you just don't try again. And you continue to evolve and change as a person and grow within your career field. Because we know your career changed many times through the years and evolved. Technology has rapidly evolved. You know, what are some of your thoughts along those lines as you look back upon your career?
Yeah, and as I look back upon my career, there's one constant, even though my roles changed. Over 50% of the functions and the businesses I supported from an IT standpoint, I wound up running. Because I knew it was about more than the technology. I would spend the time to learn the people, what they were faced with, what the challenges were, and how the technology was going to enable them. Now, if you don't know the people, you don't know how to position the technology. And that really gets to the heart and the core of what I talk about in the book. See, what most people don't realize is that 75% of change initiatives fail. They fail. And it's very rarely it's because of the technology. It's because of the culture. And the culture being the people, the priorities, and the politics.
Yeah. And part, speaking of the people and the culture, it's from your perspective, how important is it to have a diverse workforce, in that business?
It's critical. And here's why. Whenever you're leading change, you have a North Star, but the road to get there is not going to be completely paved. So you're going to run into problems. Okay. And the key thing that a leader has to do is when you run into a problem or a crisis is to assemble people very quickly who are going to look at it from different perspectives, and you're going to come up with the best answer. So you go from solving problems as a leader as you move up the ranks to solving dilemmas. And the only way you can solve a dilemma with the best solution is to have a diverse group of people that you feel comfortable with, that are going to feel comfortable with you to present different views, and then quickly come together and support the direction moving forward.
So the more diverse, the more culture you can have within that workforce.
Oh, absolutely. And I insist that I always had to have female representation in my teams, in my core group, because ladies, they do have that intuition. Mm-hmm. And they can bring in a perspective that I hadn't even thought about. And the thing that I'm most proud of, anywhere where I was an officer, and also on any of the boards I've been on, by the time I joined and by the time I left, there were more women in leadership positions. Now, it wasn't because I came up with a quota. It was because I said, I want the best talent. And as a result, women emerged up. I gave them opportunities. And they some of the things that I'm credited with doing, women played a key role in making that happen.
And I do believe that will play a big key role in our development as a nation going forward within big corporations and big learning institutions, just having more women in the leadership position. From my perspective, in my opinion, I think women think with their heart and soul, and men think with their eyes and ears.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that brings a different element, like you say.
Correct. In fact, here's what I used to deal with, okay? And I'm making a generalization, so yeah. Please don't send me listeners a whole lot of emails saying that wasn't you. I'm just generalizing here, or isn't you? Men can have 10% of the information, but they have 100% of the confidence. So it's full speed ahead. So I had to work with them in saying, okay, let's think this through. Women can have 70% of the information, but 10% of the confidence. So I worked with them and let's get moving, because this happens with both men and women. We all have that little bitty, that itty bitty crappy committee in our heads telling us that we can't do, that we are not worthy. You got to shut that committee down. That committee meets every day, every hour. Okay? You got to stop attending that meeting. Now, I got to credit Jerry Elliott with that saying, okay? Because it just resonated with me. Now, she used a different word for crappy, okay, but it's the itty bitty crappy committee.
Right.
You are worthy. Yes. You can do.
Right, right. And that's such an interesting perspective. I mean, this is not something you learn right out of college or, you know, after your first job. You have developed this unique perspective on your many years of working with corporations and individuals. But it sounds to me, it's kind of spot on a little bit. How about your perspective, Sandy, along those lines, and what women can bring particularly unique to the leadership positions?
I mean, I would agree 100%. Interesting enough, on the panel yesterday, Laura Miller, who's with IHG and, you know, very senior person, she was saying it's quite interesting how gentlemen can have, if it's an open position, and it could be a very senior, they can have 50%, maybe 50%, maybe even 40%, and they'll apply. They're ready. They're ready to go. Women can have 110%. And we're still debating on whether or not we would apply. And I think that that's where we need the levels of mentors in our personal lives, and we need a level of sponsors to help us move forward. But another interesting topic that recently came up is how girls' confidence peaks at age 8, and then it goes down from there. What's happening? Why is it that they're holding back? But what's been found to be true, when they're in science and math classes in segregated classrooms between boys and girls, their confidence stays the same level.
They feel safer.
They feel safer.
I think that is
much safer.
The ability to feel safe and,
absolutely,
to, you know, be creative.
Safe to fail.
Yes.
Safe not to know the
right
answer.
You're not going to be judged.
Absolutely.
No one's going to, you know, ridicule you because you didn't do it the right way.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, is just feeling the safe to explore yourself. Mm-hmm. And to blossom as a person.
And so that's the reason why middle school has become such an important component for WIT. We've got to find a way to keep those girls elevated, keep their confidence levels elevated, because from middle school to high school to college, it goes down. And depending on what field you've gone into, I mean, if you're going to be a mechanical engineer, you're probably not going to feel that level of confidence as age 8. But at the same time, if you have the level of support, such as a women in technology group that can keep you propped up, that's a great thing, but you've got to keep that momentum going.
No, it's absolutely a wonderful thing. And that kind of talks to some of the core programs that that WIT does for young, how to develop self, right? How to develop leadership and some of those programs you're offering. And,
absolutely.
And to continue that, you know, middle school age, high school age, college, career, you know, let's face it, it's a tough world out there.
Right.
Not everybody's going to be nice to you. And you've got to have the confidence within yourself that you are doing the right thing, and you're holding core, true to your core beliefs.
Absolutely. And holding core, and also, when I think back on my career, I got comfortable with getting lost with confidence. In other words, I was okay without knowing everything because I had confidence in my ability to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And not by me just sitting alone, but reaching out to people that know. So this whole thing with being able to get lost with confidence and also fighting what I call the FUD, the fear, the uncertainty, and the doubt that holds us back from reaching out. So that's when you have to be grounded by a purpose. And I want to go back to some of my mentors and sponsors. When I moved from accounting into IT, at that time, everybody in IT had computer science or math degrees. Here I am coming in there with an accounting degree and 9 months worth of programming classes. Okay, so I was fortunate that, and Gabe Lance, to this time, he's my best buddy. He reached out to me because he saw what my heart was and my head was, and then he worked with me on how to get the programs to work, how to learn the language. See, anytime you step out into a different culture, the first thing you have to do is learn that culture, learn the language of that culture, learn what that culture values. If they see you're willing to do that, you'll be surprised the number of people within that culture that are going to reach out to you.
Mm. Yeah, lost in confidence sounds a lot like lead by faith as well. You know, and those are two of your beliefs and things you've already said here this morning. So I think those are very, very good kind of key phrases to hold with you and point you by that North Star in the right direction on success for sure. I have to know, too, we've mentioned along the way, what is your theme song? Well, what is the one song that keeps you motivated or inspired and keeps you going on a daily basis? Well,
my wife and I, we love Frankie Beverly and Maze. They are an R&B group that has a very loyal following. And my song is one of the ones they made, and it's called Back in Stride Again.
All right.
And I used to tell people, whenever you see me just walking around with that swagger, that means I messed something up big time, but I'm back in stride again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go hit that up on YouTube later today because I want to have that in my repertoire on my iPod so I can get back in stride myself on those days when I need to, for sure. And so that's good. So develop a theme song, something that, and what else inspires you this day? You know, you're retired since 2013. Yeah. And what are some things today that motivates you, inspires you to just keep going and doing more?
Yeah, it's funny. What I tell people is that I didn't go into retirement. I went into repurposement, okay? In that, I went from success, personal success, to where I want to have greater significance. So what inspires me is to see people when their minds are open, leaders, emerging ones, beginning ones, opening up their minds and then seeing them all of a sudden reaching out and accomplishing things. Like, I'm so proud of Sandy.
Yeah.
Okay, to see what Sandy is doing, okay, and then helping them navigate that, what I call that change maze. So don't think that just because you got a great idea, everybody else is just going to applaud and celebrate it. So helping them navigate implementing change. So that repurposement is all about the developing of leaders, okay? Making a difference now, making a difference more through people than through myself.
Right. So that is something that is you're doing good for the community as you know, and Atlanta as a whole, individuals. I think that's fantastic. Helping them succeed brings joy and love to your heart. So that's wonderful. So here, how about another book on the horizon for you? We know you got Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change now out there. Anything else along those lines?
Yeah, the book that I'm beginning to think about now focuses in on the men, especially the white males, who open up the doors for people differently than them. I want to get a feel for what drove them to do that. For example, I sat down with Pete Carrell, and I said, Pete, you had a diverse leadership team, a diverse board, before there was anything called diversity and inclusion. Why did you have that? What drove you? And I remember he looked me straight in the eye without batting an eye, and he said, talent. I looked at it straight from talent. That doesn't have to be a business case for talent. And I was like, Pete, you grew up in South Georgia. What kind of shape that looking at people just based on the talent they bring, as opposed to first looking at the package that they're bringing it in? So I want to delve deeper into that. So a lot of times books are focused on the people who were different, who walked through the door. I want to focus on the people who opened up the door for them and the way they went about opening other people's minds and giving them advice. For example, the best piece of advice I got one time, I went from being general manager responsible for 3,000 people to a single contributor. And I actually resigned in less than 60 days. And I remember my boss's boss said, I'm not accepting your resignation because, James, you've shown that you can get things done when you have direct control over things. You now have to learn how to lead through influence. Whoa. The best piece of advice I ever got.
Lead through influence.
Lead through influence. And then my career just took off after that.
That's great advice as well. And those are things you can find in the book, Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change by H. James Dallas. And another subject matter that he was talking about there just a moment ago, and a possible book coming out. And I think that would be something that this city and this country could really sink their teeth into and learn from. What's the writing process for you like? Is that just wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, sit down, write a little bit? Or is it difficult, or is it enlightening for you? What is the writing process like?
Well, it's funny. I thought it was going to be difficult. People over the years have been telling me, James, write a book, write a book, write a book. And I remember I did a presentation to a group of CIOs, because normally transformations are somehow IT enabled. And when they don't work, normally the CIOs get the blame for it. So I did a presentation to them called How to Be a Change Agent and Live to Tell the Story. And the next thing I knew, an author was in the audience, and I'm doing a book outline. Well, I found the process to be one that was enjoyable. Now, I would get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, because at that time, my wife and I had custody of our niece's 18-month-old twins. So I would get up like at 4 a.m. in the morning, I would be writing, and then we would get them dressed around 7 or so to get off to daycare and everything else. And while they were at daycare, I would come back and I'd be writing again. And then my best times for writing were Saturday mornings from 7 to 12. I would have Young Blood on. And he's from a different radio station, but he'll be playing all those old songs back from my day growing up. And as he would be jamming on the radio, I'd be jamming on the keyboard.
I love it. That is a great story. And I got to vision it now. Saturday mornings, rocking out to Young Blood and getting the book written. So definitely encourage more of that going forward in 2016. And for you, Sandy, what's on the horizon in 2016 for WIT Atlanta?
Oh, of course, you know, our schedule is never, never empty. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be kicking off the second half of WIT Careers. And so we'll be continuing our partnership with Emory Continuing Education for what it takes to develop self, what it takes to manage others, and what it takes to master leadership. So we just had our capstone event, had 32 graduates from 17 different companies. And so we're feeling very successful about that. And I think that part of, you know, the program is, you know, started and is going to continue on. And then, of course, in January, we'll have Jeff Halter, an author who wrote a book called Why Women, and he's going to be our speaker for the WIT Forum.
Excellent. And he just had the Women of the Year Awards, big event out there at the Georgia Aquarium, big turnout. Everybody had a great time, and you're going to be bringing some of those award winners onto the program next time.
Yes, absolutely. February time period, they needed a little more heads up time. We'll definitely have those ladies come out.
Great. But if you want more information on that or other events or anything else, how can the listeners find out?
Go to mywit.org, and all the information you need, as well as our events calendar, is there for your viewing.
Fantastic. And for you in 2016, James, what's on the horizon for you personally?
Well, it's funny that Sandy mentioned Emory. Emory is where I got my MBA. And I'm actually looking to get more engaged with Emory, because getting my MBA from there really gave me the boost I needed in my career. I went in that program as a general manager. I understood the four flows of business going in. The flow of information, the flow of products and services, the flow of money, and the flow of people. At Emory, I learned how to put those four flows into context. And then how to think about them strategically and entrepreneurially. So then you can know how to leverage and integrate them to create new business opportunities and new business models. So I'm internally grateful for Emory, not only the professors, but also my classmates, because I learned just as much from them as I did my teachers. So I'm doing a shout out to Emory, because without getting that MBA, I wouldn't have been able to look at business from a holistic standpoint.
Now, we love Emory and the Guazetta Business School here in Business Radio X Studios. We often have a lot of the folks revolving through there in our studio here, in our number of studios, sharing their story. So we just love their mission and the people they're helping out there, for sure. And we look forward to more great things from them in 2016 as well. So thank you very much, Sandy, for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan.
We look forward to having you back in here real soon. And James Dallas, remind our listeners how they can find your book, yourself, more information on LinkedIn. Where may listeners find out?
They can find the book at any online bookstore. They can also connect through me at Twitter at HJamesDallas. They can go to my website, jdallasandassociates.com.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. You're always welcome back in the studio. Hearing your story really resonates with me. And from one native Atlanta to another, have a happy holidays and a wonderful 2016. All right. So listeners, if you are out there and you want to share your story with an engaged audience, and you're doing something genuinely to serve your community and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.